Blog Talk Radio.
All right, all right, all right. Good evening, everyone. This is Tawanda with another chance to bridge the gap. And we're back again today to talk about 0 days and a wake up. Before we get started, I want to tell you a little bit about this call and who we are, what we do while we're here, and so on and so forth. Another Chance to Bridge the Gap has a goal to be able to bridge the gap between men and women incarcerated with family, friends, and people in the community. For well over a decade now, we've been working to help bridge those gaps. We work with people between the federal and state prison across the United States, as well as family, friends, and people in the community. We want to be able to ensure that people that's incarcerated has a voice, and that voice can still be heard even if they can't hop on the phone, make phone calls, and do certain things. We want them to know that someone is here that wants to be able to be a voice for them. We also want to make sure that while that man or woman is incarcerated, that their rights are not being violated. They can get things that they actually just do, and they can be able to do their time and hopefully be able to come home when that time is actually up. We also want to be able to make sure that families understand the importance of helping their loved one while in prison and not just kind of forgetting about them. I know we've all heard the saying, out of sight, out of mind, and we know that life has so many different things going on. However, we want to make sure that family, friends, and loved ones can be supportive of that person that's in prison and vice versa, and we're here to help do that. Since COVID-19, we started having these calls as often as possible. We definitely like to be here daily, and we're definitely a work in progress when it comes to that. However, we've been able to get on here and share information about COVID-19, how it's affecting prisoners, how families are being affected, and other things around that. And as we hopefully are coming to a close of different things going on with COVID-19, we'll still be here talking about anything that's happened in relation to news and updates from prison, different things in the community, what's happening with the youth, anything to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. All right, so with that being said, again, I am Tawanda, and I will host the call for today. We're talking about 0 days and a wake-up. And basically, when I heard someone say before, I have 5 days and a wake-up or 4 days and a wake-up, I said to myself, what in the world does that mean? And then I got educated that when a person's getting ready to come home from prison, of course, they're counting the days down. And a wake-up means, let's say if you're coming home tomorrow, for example, then you're going to say, I have 0 days and a wake-up, which means when you wake up, you're leaving prison. So even though today I post here, Lori Jackson Brown will be released from the federal prison in less than 24 hours after 3 years of being incarcerated. So I told her, hey, Lori, when you come home, I'm going to have to get you on this call to talk about what your plans are, what you're going to do next, and so on and so forth. And in addition to talking about a little about Lori and who she is and a little about her story, I want to talk about returning citizens, which simply means people returning back to society and different things we could do to be able to help that person or those people transition back. Because unfortunately, many years ago, people would say over half of the people that come home from prison go right back. And today, those percentages are a little over 70%. Of the fact that people come home and go right back to prison, and that's a problem, okay? So a little about Lori. I met her probably about 3 years ago. She served time at the federal prison in Aliceville, Alabama. And upon meeting her, I could tell that she definitely was not a person just like the normal person that you may meet in prison. Very ambitious, full of energy, a lot of ideas, extremely creative, very intelligent, and really just about change. And she would always tell me about different things happening at the prison and how she would talk to the warden or to the nurse, just really an advocate. And not really even just an advocate for herself, also an advocate for other people, other women in prison that actually really needed help. She would help people that needed legal help. She would connect dots. If she couldn't do something, she would find someone else who was. And she said, hey, Tawanda, I'm not just doing this because I'm here. This is what I've always done well over 30 years. And when I get home, I'm going to do more and more and more because I just really see the injustice in the justice system. And I tell you, she has really been on fire ever since I met her. So the fact that she'll be home in less than 24 hours is truly amazing, and I know that great things are going to happen. And in addition to that, before I go out to the lady that we have on the call today to talk about her transition and being prepared to come home and so on and so forth, I want to say this. Lori is a lot fortunate than most people, meaning that she's coming home to a husband that has been there for since day one. And she's coming home to a family that loves her, a family that can't wait for her to get home. And she has so many different support systems in place. And this is exactly what a person needs when they prepare to come home from prison. They need family. They need love. They need support. They need to know that when they get a job, they can be able to get there. They need to have a really good, safe place to live and so on and so forth. And Lori has that. But guess what? A lot of people don't. So what we're going to talk about today is just some real-life stories. Some real-life stories of prison life, what you go through in prison, and then different steps to be able to transition back as a returning citizen. Now, I have one lady on the line, and she dialed in early. I'm so glad for that. And she has no idea what I'm going to ask her, but I know that she's ready. Nicole, are you on the line? Nicole, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, how are you doing this evening?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you for asking. Well, as we begin today, if you don't mind, just share a little bit about who you are and maybe what your story is.
Okay. Well, I'm Nicole. Out of Georgia. I've actually done a total of 5.5 years in prison. Currently waiting to go home within the next 2 weeks.
Okay. So 5.5 years in prison and you're going home in 2 weeks. So what is going on through your mind right now in reference to being gone for 5.5 years and in the process of going home in less than 30 days? How does that feel? What's on your mind? What are you thinking? What are your plans? Share a little information about that with us.
I it's funny because one of my good friends, she just went home, and she was super nervous. And, I always used to encourage her, be like, it's no sense in being nervous. You're going to do great when you go out. So it's funny because now I'm where she was. So it's like mm-hmm. I'm nervous. Because I'm actually going to relocate, so I'm not going to the same place where I was at. And so I'm actually moving to somewhere where I don't have a lot of connects. There's not many people around here, that I will know. So it had got me nervous. But the same woman that, I was inspiring and telling, oh, you're going to do great when you get out. Now she's giving me that same energy back, and she's like, listen, it's nothing for you to be stressing about. You're going to do great. And, I can't wait to get back out. I have an 8-year-old, so I can't wait to be able to just go and get her and have an amazing time.
And that's really amazing that you said that, because you were encouraging someone who now is right back encouraging you. Teamwork definitely makes the dream work. That's really, really good to hear. Well, I'm going to go through some different tips and share some information. And the fact that you're actually getting ready to experience this, you can kind of tell me, hey, I've done that or I haven't done that. Because we want you to have just as much success as anyone else. So you're going to be really great. I guess people call it a guinea pig. We're going to kind of go through this information. So tell us where you are in reference to these steps and these tips. And before I begin that, what I want to also say is one thing that we're working on with Another Chance is developing a transition program. And when a person has 36 months or less, Nicole just said, hey, I did 5.5 years, okay? So when a person has 36 months or less, we want to get them enrolled into our transition program. And then when that happens, it's going to be a coming home transition program. And they will have a module that talks about what to do at year three from the door. That means 3 years before you actually come home. What to do at year two from the door. What to do at year one from the door. What to do at 6 months from the door. And what to do at 90 days from the door. And listen, we're just talking from the cold today, but guess what? She's 2 weeks from the door, okay? We also have a transition step-down program for family to encourage family to join and be involved. Now, Nicole, let me ask you a question. Why is it important for family to be involved in transition just as much as the returning citizen?
Because, you know, if you, you know, any amount of time being away from family, you know, it's a transition. You know, especially for people that have been gone for a good amount of time, you know, being able to finally be able to see that person face-to-face without having to worry about an officer saying, oh, you can't touch this person for that amount of time. You know, just having that bond with them and you know, being able to communicate.
Okay. Now, let me ask you a question. We have one other caller that just joined in. I'm going to acknowledge that caller in just a second. But let me clarify something, because you did mention that you were coming home from prison in 2 weeks. Is that correct, Nicole?
Right.
Okay. Now, you happen to be on the phone today. So are you allowed to have phones in prison now? Or clarify that so we won't be confused.
Okay, I got you. Well, currently, I am not in prison. I am currently in a transitional center, which transitional center is, you know. So, yes, in Georgia's transitional centers, you are allowed to have a cell phone. You go through the proper chain of command. Your family, loved ones, whoever sends you in the phone, you know, they go in, they engrave it with your name, GDC number on it, so that it's legal. It's not illegal.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that, because that kind of had me a little concerned for a few minutes for anyone that would be listening. All right, now we just had someone join us. State your name and the state you're calling from.
My name is Celebrity, and I'm calling from Denver, Colorado. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, we can hear you great. Thank you so much, Celebrity, for joining, and you're actually right on time. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what made you join us today.
Well, I'm currently involved with a gentleman who is incarcerated in Michigan. I'm originally from Detroit, and I live in Denver now, but he's incarcerated in Michigan. And I don't know how I came to – I can't remember how we
– I think you were telling me via Facebook that he was actually in the process of coming home earlier.
Yeah, he'll be home in August. It's not early, but his earliest date is August. And he just was granted his parole, so he'll be home.
Oh, wow. So he's coming home in August as in 3 months from now?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So here's what we're getting ready to do. I'm going to be talking about, and Nicole just shared her story of doing 5.5 years in prison. She comes home in about 2 weeks, and she's at a transition home, which she's able to have a phone, have a job, et cetera. Now, I'm going to go through some different tips on what to do to help your loved one when they're coming home, transitioning back. But before I do that, Nicole, let me ask you a question. You mentioned at the transition home that you're able to have a phone. Is there anything else that you're able to do, like is someone just paying the bill, or how does that actually work?
Yeah, your family can actually pay the bill. Now, there is certain types of phones, like they don't want us to really have iPhones that have glass backs to them. Because they engrave it, and you know, a lot of iPhones, they want you to have it on a contract, so they don't really want you to have a contract phone. You can, but they don't really want you to, because it voids your contract because it's basically like a property destruction thing. But your family could pay higher because right now, you know, being that we're taking off the jobs, you know, of course they gotta know somebody's gotta pay your phone bill for you. You're not able to go out to work. You're not, you know, we're not able to go shopping right now. So
you do have job opportunities though.
Oh yeah, of course.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was trying to find out. So at the transition place, you get to, it's a step down, you can have a phone, you can actually go out for a job as well. Okay.
Right.
All right.
You're able to do a lot more at transitional time. You're actually able to go on home passes for a certain amount of time. You're able to go out shopping. So I mean, it has, you know, you're getting back into the community. You're getting back into society.
Okay, well that sounds good. Well, I want to go through 10 different things as far as steps to transition. And the unique thing about this, Celebrity, you get to speak about this on you being there for your loved one and what he's going to need from you when he comes home in about 90 days. And, Nicole, you're going to speak from the perspective. We want to make sure you're ready, so hopefully you two may kind of talk and share information. And, Nicole, we're going to talk about you from the perspective of, hey, who's checking for me in this area, because the goal is to ensure people come home and stay home. All right, so number one, prepare yourself for the long haul, okay? Understand that the first few hours following a loved one's release, though critical, is just a component because it's going to be a process. It's going to be a reentry process. So it's preparing yourself for the long haul. So, ladies, how are you in this area? Are you prepared for the long haul? What do you think you need help in? Where do you think you're strong in? Where do you think you're weak in?
I'll let her go first.
Okay.
Well, I've definitely been preparing as far as, like I said, I already have a job. So, you know, and being able to continue to work at that job until, you know, I find something better and more solid. But it's definitely an advantage to have a job like that. And, you know, preparing for, you know, getting back out and raising my daughter. You know, she's 8 now, so it's a lot of adjustment that's going to have to happen. But
mm-hmm.
I've definitely been sitting down right now, you know, the different things that I need to do, the things I want to do. And just being able to be like, okay, you know, I got this plan in place and I'm ready.
Absolutely. And keep this in mind, Nicole. Education, housing, employment, transportation, and counseling if needed. These are all part of reentry. Preparing for the long haul. Preparing, guess what, to never go back again. That's extremely important. All right, Celebrity, talk to us about how you're feeling about preparing for the long haul for him to come home.
Well, he has a plan. He's going to go to truck driving school, and he's been gone for 4 years. And so, you know, he's got a lot of work to do with his children and his family. So I won't be putting a lot of pressure. I'm in Denver, so we're going to have a long-distance relationship initially. But, you know, I'm definitely here for him. I'm going to get him some therapy because I think he needs to, you know, lay on somebody's couch and talk softly, have somebody talk softly to him for a minute.
Absolutely.
Being off for 4 years and the emotional toll that it takes on you and your children and your family, this whole 4 years with him. So we do a lot of talking and, you know, I'm just going to encourage him to, you know, he's got his head on straight, so he knows he has to come home and, you know, do a lot of work with his children and his family, but I'm just I'm his support. I have his back.
That's
on
right.
Whatever it is you want.
That's
to.
Right.
He definitely has a plan. He wants to go to truck driving school, and so he's gonna be good.
Okay, and really, and you sound very, very strong about that. and emphasis on he has a plan. You definitely have to have a plan, and you have to work the plan. All right, number two, be there physically when your loved one is released. Meet your loved one when he or she exits the facility. Now, you might
That's
have
right.
to practice a little social distancing. Just kind of really depends. But talk to me a little bit. Let's let Celebrity go first on this one. I'm not sure if he's coming home and you're going to actually physically be there or you're going to virtually be there. But tell me a little bit about who's going to physically be there when he walks out those doors.
Yeah, I definitely plan to pick him up from the facility and love on him a whole lot, you know.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah, I definitely will be there. But like I said, I live in Denver, so I plan to, you know, take some time off work when he comes home, you know, to get him situated and everything. But yeah, I definitely plan to lay my eyeballs on him when he walk out.
Okay. All right, that sounds good. All right, Nicole, talk to me about who's physically going to be there when you walk out those doors.
It's so funny you ask that, right? Because I keep messing with my mom and everybody, and I keep telling them nobody is going to know when I come home. I have a friend that actually, she was like, well, if you want me to, then she don't want them to know when you come home. I'll take you down there and, you know, stuff like that. So it's funny that you ask about that because I just want to be able to surprise them. And I don't want them
okay.
to, especially my baby, like, I think it'll be a good thing for her.
Okay. So basically, but you have someone, when you walk out those doors, someone on your support team is going to be there for you to hop in the car with and ride off into the sunset, right?
Right.
Okay. All right, number three, help your loved one come up with a plan. Now, I know Celebrity just mentioned that her guy's going to truck driving school. He definitely has a plan. So it's really about working the plan. So talk to us a little bit, Nicole, about what your plans are.
I'm actually in the process now of enrolling back in college. I want to go and get my accounting. I want to go back to college for accounting. So it's just being able to do it, and I know with the mindset I have, I know I'll be able to achieve what I want to.
Okay. One thing it says is realize that your loved ones needs to have a plan that addresses the most fundamental hurdles of securing housing and clothing, meeting with his or her probation officer if they have one, meeting any medical needs, and basically getting back on track, you know, getting your ID. One of the things I tell people, especially at 12 months, go ahead and get that Social Security card. Go ahead and get that birth certificate. A lot of people don't have that stuff. Sometimes some people don't even have the driver's license. So you want to make sure that we have all that. Having a plan is a must. All right, number four, be realistic about the transition. Because guess what? Rome was not built in a day. So try to have realistic expectations about life after being released. So talk to me, you guys, about how realistic you feel that the transition is going to actually be.
Well, Terry and I have done a lot of talking about, you know, what and who and why and where and how things are going to play out. And we don't have it. We're very fluid, and we're just going to let things happen. We're not married to any idea of where we're going to live or, you know what I mean? Because there are other
mm-hmm.
factors, you know, he wants to get through school. He has children in Detroit. So
mm-hmm.
We're very fluid. And I told him, I said, if I have to come every weekend, that's fine. You know, we're like I said, we're not married to any, you know, solid, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. We're just going to let things happen naturally and, you know, take
now,
the hurdles
far,
as they come.
How far is he from you, Celebrity?
He's in Michigan. I'm in Denver. So like a 2-hour plane ride, I think.
Okay, 2-hour plane ride, okay. All right, Nicole, talk to us about being realistic. And when I say realistic, a lot of people tell me all the time, man, Tawanda, listen, I got this when I go home. I'm not worrying about nothing. I got my plan, blah, blah, blah. And guess what? We can have every plan in the world together. Life can still happen. So being realistic, tell me some things to share with us, how you're realistic or how you may have had to kind of get your mind together because maybe you wasn't realistic in the beginning.
And I think it's like you said, knowing that life happens and things may not go directly how you expect them to or that you even have planned on them to. So I think just keeping in mind that things do happen and being prepared to face the obstacles that may come up. But I did want to say something because I know that you said something about Social Security card and all that kind of stuff. I know in Georgia, I don't know about any other state, but I know in Georgia, once you reach a certain amount of time, they actually, when you get ready to go sign your papers, they already have your birth certificate, your they'll give you a ID card, and they'll give you your Social Security card. So they already do you like a little home pack. Or, you know, when you get out. So you'll definitely have that. But if you're, like,
okay,
incarcerated
good.
In Georgia and not from Georgia, a few months before you actually get released, they'll, you know, call you up and be like, well, where, you know, what state you was born in and stuff like that. And they'll actually send off for your information. So you'll be able to have
that's
it.
That's good. Oh, that's amazing. All right, number five, we already kind of covered this, but it's understand it may not go smoothly. Be ready to face real life. Hey, things happen. I've met people that came home and it was coronavirus. So they came home and they had enough money to get the first month rent for the apartment. They had a job, but guess what? It's COVID-19. You can't go to work. So understand it may not go smoothly. Number six. Brace yourself for some kind of conflict. Chances are they might be conflict. And, you know, we don't all get along. There's sometimes conflict. So talk to me, ladies, about what your thoughts are. Tell me about conflict and maybe how you resolve conflict and how you can help your loved one resolve conflict.
Well, we're good communicators. And when I'm not a good communicator, he's a good communicator. You know what I mean? He can sense when there's something bothering me. Because a lot of times stuff will be happening out here in life, and I don't really want to bother him with it because he can't help me with that, you know. And but he can hear it in my voice. He'll be like, "What's the matter?" And so we talk, and you know, and he was like, "Well, just think about doing this or that and the other." So he's a good communicator. He's definitely grown since he's been there. So I think just the key to conflict is, because there's going to be conflict, but it's how you handle the conflict. We don't do a lot of shouting and cussing and all of that. We just talk and you know, we come to some kind of resolution. And sometimes, you know, we get frustrated and we get off the phone and we talk about it the next session or whatever. But communication, you have to just be able to talk like adults, not screaming and yelling. And so we do a lot of talking.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, talk to me, Nicole.
I think when it comes to that, I think, like you said, having good communication. So even with some, you know, some of my loved ones, I'm just now being able to actually start talking to them and getting things on the right track with them and just continue to being open of, you know, what the issues was and what the issues are now so that when I do come home, you know, everything is out there and it won't be no hindrance towards anything.
Absolutely. Okay. Now, that definitely makes sense. And, you know, the thing is, conflict is really, it's a part of life. And unfortunately, like, we're being honest, you know, not just you having personal conflict with your loved one, people out in the community, you know, people are rude. People are just treat you any type of way. So you have to always be prepared because every day would not be good. All right, next thing, number seven, be careful not to take anything for granted. Communicate with correction officials and find out what kind of track record your loved one has had during the time away. Well, I'm not really sure if anybody's going to be calling the prison to kind of find out somebody's jacket in reference to what's been happening, but be careful not to take anything for granted. Give me some thoughts when you guys hear that.
Taking things for granted as far as his behavior inside?
However you want to receive that, because that can go a lot of different ways.
Right. Well, you know, in life it's good not to take anything for granted, you know, just to appreciate things. But, you know, him and I have known each other for quite a while, so I kind of know who he is and I've seen his growth but I still don't take anything for granted. I just take things as they come. I don't really put expectations on a lot of things. You know, he says, you know, we talk about us together and all that, but, you know, you just take things as they come. And you just, because when you don't put a lot of expectation, then you don't have a lot of heartbreak. You just deal with it as it comes. You know what I mean?
Respect. Respect. Okay. Yeah. Nicole?
Okay. Well, definitely. You know, as long as I've done good in prison, I've never received a DR. I've never got in trouble. So, you know, it's a... What was the question?
The question is, be careful not to take anything for granted.
Okay. When I was at home, I took everything for granted. You know, being able to, you know, cook your own food, wash your own clothes. You know, I took all of that for granted. And I think during this time now, I learned that you should always be appreciative to everything, you know, because you never know when you're in a situation like this. Even if you're out there down and you're, you know, down and doing bad, at the same time, you have your freedom and you're able to, you know, do stuff on your own. You're able to be out. You're able to walk around. You know, you're able to do a lot of stuff. And so it's just amazing to come in here and learn to really appreciate what is out there and the people that is willing to actually help you to make sure that you achieve your goals and your dreams.
Okay. That's real. That's absolutely real. And just like Celebrity said, really in life, we have to be careful and we shouldn't take anything for granted. But, of course, we're human at the same time, and sometimes we do. So we should definitely be extremely careful. And not just a returning citizen, that's us in life. So, yes, ma'am, absolutely. I'm with you 110% on that. Wow, that just took me somewhere. All right. I want to quickly go over the ones we went through because I got the last three, and then I will open up to anything that you guys want to just really share about what you're thinking and how you're feeling since Nicole is coming home in 2 weeks and Celebrity has her guy that's coming home in 90 days. So to quickly recap on 1 through 7 before we close out on the last three, number one, prepare yourself for the long haul. So when someone is coming home from prison, you definitely want to think about reentry, education, transportation, housing, employment, different things a person is going to need to make sure, hey, I'm home, I'm going to stay home. Prepare yourself for the long haul. Number two, be there physically when your loved one is released. A lot of people get out of prison and they walk out the doors and nobody's there. And there's a lot of times someone is in Michigan and they're from Mississippi and, you know, people can't really get there. Of course, that's understood if no one can get there. However, if in any way possible, please do not let your loved one come home and walk out that door and no one is there. Number three, help your loved one come up with a plan. It's amazing to have a plan. It's more amazing to work the plan. What am I going to do when I get home? Where am I going to live? What am I going to drive? How am I going to get around? Is the place stable? What has happened differently from when I was home the last time? It's so crucial and so important to have a plan. And guess what? Have a plan, a backup plan, and an alternate plan. I used to tell people, hey, have your plan B and plan C. And some people say, hey, I only got plan A. Well, guess what? Modify plan A. Modify it three times if you need to. But you have to have a plan, and if life happens, you got to have a fallback. That is extremely important because most times people have a plan, and it's not a good one. Number four, be realistic about the transition. Guess what? Life happens. We have to be realistic. Sometimes people come home, and they think they got a place to stay, and guess what? And they don't have a place to stay. The person who said they could stay, they changed their mind, or they got evicted. And now guess what? There's nothing else happening. There's no other place to go. Be realistic that life will happen and we will fail. And it's not about failing. It's about getting back up. Number five, understand it may not go smoothly. I have had people tell me over and over, over the last 10 years, man, Tawanda, I underestimated my transition. I had it hard. And guess what? And I told them before. You know what they told me? I got it. Oh, I got money. I got family. It's going to be all right. And remember, over 70% of the people that come home go right back because guess what? They underestimate and it doesn't go smooth, and they react. All right, number six, brace yourself for some type of conflict. Conflict happens every single day. Sometimes, guess what? When we have conflict, we have to just shut up. If you and I have conflict, celebrity, guess what? Okay, I understand. All right, thank you. Goodbye. Sometimes you just got to swallow it, shut up, and keep it moving. What we do today determines what happens tomorrow. Number seven, be careful not to take anything for granted. And that's for everybody. These are not just steps for a turning citizen. These are steps for life. Number eight, let's talk about it. Try not to enable your loved one. Help your loved ones one by one by doing things and vice versa, but do not enable them. Talk to me, ladies. How are you feeling about that? Nicole, you're getting ready to come home in 2 weeks. People are going to help you, but nobody's going to baby you. Nobody's going to do it for you. How are you feeling about that?
Oh, definitely. I definitely don't want anyone to enable me. You know, I want to be able to, you know, and that's part of the reason that I decided to make the transition, you know, from one part of Georgia to another part was because of I didn't want anybody to be able to enable me. You know, I wanted them to be able to hold me accountable. Okay, you got this, this, and this. So, and I know going back to where my mom and them are, is they'll be able to enable me. And so this will be me standing on my own, you know, with their encouragement and their support.
Okay. I can dig that. Celebrity?
Well, my personality is not an enabling personality, so I don't have any issues with that. I'm used to being taken care of by a man, so I told him, you got to come out here and you got work to do. And he knows, so I'm not an enabler. I am very much a traditional woman who falls back into her role in the relationship. So, no, I won't be enabling. He is definitely a leader. And like I said, you know, I'm here to support, but he's definitely got a plan laid out. He definitely is clear on what he wants to do, what he doesn't want to do. And going back to prison ain't an option.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm so glad you said that. And guess what? I hope he definitely heard you because I heard you. Get home and get busy because she got to be taken care of.
Right. Right.
I
exactly.
am not mad about
exactly.
that. All right. All right. Number nine, know where to get assistance. Find out if there are pre-release centers, one-stop shop for immediate assistance. You know, sometimes you can get checks, you know, if you've been incarcerated for more than 9 years. There's so many different opportunities for assistance. So let's talk about that. Nicole, you go first. Tell us, are you aware of some different places you may can get assistance? Is there any type of assistance you know that you're going to need and benefit from that you don't mind sharing with us? Talk to us about that.
Of course. I had a friend, she connected me with single mothers, and they actually offer all types of assistance for single moms, you know. So I actually have been communicating with one of the ladies there. So she has been great. But, you know, being in a transitional center, we used to have a lot of different groups that would come in. And I actually have a mentor through one of those groups. And she has also been sending me in, you know, housing locations. She's been sending me in, like, resources for, like, daycare. Because, of course, by COVID, you know, schools are closed right now. So definitely when I get out, you know, and I go back to work, Mackenzie's definitely going to have to go somewhere. You know, she can't stay at home by herself. So I've actually started receiving a lot of information. She's been great. So it's okay. Just, you know, being able to go online and Google and just find different things.
Okay. That makes sense. All right. Talk to us, Celebrity.
Now that's an area that I haven't really looked into. I know he's looked into the school that he'll be attending for truck driving. There's a grant that they give for previously incarcerated individuals. But as far as other resources, I probably need to do some homework. I haven't, you know, he has somewhere to stay. You know, he has a big family there, so he has somewhere to stay, and he's going to get right to school. But as far as other resources that are available, I don't know. Maybe you can assist me in that area.
Okay. Absolutely. And one thing you mentioned about, like, him possibly getting on somebody's couch, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. And just think about some of the things that he's going to probably need, like where he's going back home to, you know, transportation. I know of a few nonprofits, one in Florida that used to be around, used to even give cars. I mean, so many different things. If there's some type
right.
of help, some type of resource, we want it. We want him to have everything that he's able to
Absolutely.
Get, especially if he needs it. Yeah, so find out what
right.
he needs, and let's definitely have a conversation about it and see. And the same thing for you, Nicole. There's help available. You know, let's definitely get it done. All right, all right. Number 10, this is the last one, and then we're just going to go out to you guys to share anything that's on your heart and on your mind before we close out. Number 10, help your loved one follow up. Make sure your loved one follows up on supportive services to local, state, county providers for counseling, medical, case management, et cetera. Now, this is something that's really personal to me because, and it's also a pet peeve of mine, but fortune is in the follow-up. Most people don't follow up. A lot of times you may need something and you call one time and someone doesn't answer the phone. Guess what people do? They don't call back because they call one time, nobody answered, they're not calling back again. So always remember that fortune is in the follow-up. And guess what? And we all should be practicing this. When someone comes home from prison, get all your checks. Get all your checkups. Of course, you know you got COVID-19. That's happening. We got to make sure everybody's good. Go get all your medical and physical checks. You know what I'm saying? When you're in prison, not just – I've had cases where people catch TB in prison, hepatitis, and so many different things. Get all the checks. The first place, if I'm coming to pick you up, first place I'm taking you to the health department. Check up for everything. I get my checks too, because we need to know. You understand what I'm saying? Because when we know, if we find we have high blood pressure, we got diabetes, we have hepatitis, we got TB, anything. When you find out in advance, guess what? It helps. And guess what? And if you're coming home, you probably get emergency Medicaid. You're not even paying for it, so let's get all that. And even with counseling, I think I was telling Nicole this a few weeks ago, nothing is ever wrong with counseling because counseling does not mean you're crazy. Sometimes you can just want somebody to talk to. So anything
right.
that you're able to get it. Take care of self. Because I'll tell you one thing before you guys speak on that. I had a guy, he did 26 or 27 years in a federal prison. And a few months before he came home, he contacted me and told me that he had nowhere to go. And he was either going to North or South Dakota. I can't remember which one it was. And he said, I have my whole life in these boxes. Can I send them to your company? And then when I get situated, I get them because I don't have anybody else. And that hurt me. That hurt me that this man did over a decade in prison. And he didn't have, and he did have one daughter, but, you know, her husband, according to him, would not let him, you know, be connected with them that way. And he sent me, I think he sent three boxes. They were sealed, and I never opened them. And to this day, I haven't opened them. And then about 2 or 3 months later, after he had gotten home and got situated, he contacted me and said, I apologize that I haven't been in touch with you. I came home and found out I have stage 4 cancer. And he said, now I got a whole nother situation. He said, so I just need a minute, and I'll be back in touch with you. And that was about 4 years ago. I haven't heard back from him since. I have no idea where he's at. I have no idea if he's dead or alive. I have no idea what's going on. And I still have those boxes, and they're still sealed. I tell you, but to come home after that and find it out, that thing hurt me. I didn't even know him. I just met him a couple of months before he's released to somebody else. But,
right.
But it's important to take care of ourselves. But give me your feedback and thoughts about follow-up. Talk to me about that.
Well, like you said, the fortune is in the follow-up. You do have to chase things down, you know, especially as far as resources, because, you know, if you know, it's not always easy to get stuff that's out here that they're giving away for free. You know, there's a lot of people in line for it. So you do have to follow up. You have to follow up. But he is so good. He called me and be on me about the follow-up. Did you call that school back? Did you call that guy back? Send me the information on the trust, babe. Did you look up the pictures I told you to look up? Babe, did you order that book on Amazon? I'm like, love. I said, I know that you don't have anything to do in there. I said, but baby, I'm working a full-time job out here. I got you. So he's good about, did you do what I asked you? Did you call my mama? Did you do that? So he's ready. He's ready. I sent him a CDL book in there. He was reading that. He's ready. So he's on me more than I, you know, and I'll be like, oh, I forgot. He'll be like, babe, I told you to do it. And I was like, I forgot. I'm going to do it today. So he's definitely about the follow-up. He be getting on my nerves.
Absolutely.
A bit.
Well, that's wonderful. And I'm so glad. And guess what? It's been a long time coming. And he's ready. Absolutely.
No, he is.
Nicole,
he
talk
is.
To us.
He's ready.
Absolutely. Talk to us, Nicole, about fortune is in a follow-up.
Yeah, doing a follow-up is very important. And definitely, even when I was in prison, you know, before I got to the transitional center, I used to always have to, because when I first got to prison, I found out that I had cancer, cervical cancer. So they actually had to go in and have a, you know, scrape, whatever. And they was talking about hysterectomy and stuff like that. And I only have one daughter, so you know, it was some conflict about that because they actually want you to have more than one child before they even consider that. But I was going weeks, and I was still bleeding really heavy. And I would have to keep putting in the box for a follow-up with these people because I didn't have no understanding, and they didn't even know why. And finally, one of the last, you know, follow-ups I sent them, they finally got me in there, and they ended up having to go back in and scrape it again. So total, it took them 3 times before they was even, before it was even gone. And so I know that getting out of here is definitely going to be a process, and definitely going to have to follow up, make sure that I'm good, that I'm, you know, that everything's okay. You know, even following up with parole officers and stuff like that, because you never want them to feel like they having to chase you down and stuff like that, because if they feel like that, then it's going to become a problem. So being able to communicate, being able to reach out to the people that you need help. So that doing a follow-up is never an issue.
Absolutely. And you know what, so are you okay with everything, like with the cancer and them scraping everything? Everything is good?
Well, since being at Transitional Center, I've been to the doctor one time, which it went great. I've been in the Transitional Center since October. I finally was able to go out to a doctor, you know, not actually having them come in to see me. I was actually able to go out to them, and they checked. Everything was still fine. They did tell me, they was like, you may bleed a few more days, you know, whatever. They was like, but that's not, you know, it's nothing wrong with it. They was like, your body is basically getting back to like it's supposed to be. But I actually have an appointment with them next month. So, it's good.
Okay. Well, definitely praying for everything to stay good that way. And, you know, like we talked about earlier, we don't want to take anything for granted, not our life, not our health, not our freedom, not our loved ones that's incarcerated, not our loved ones that's on the street. We're not taking anything for granted. And let me say this before I go out to you guys. When I found out about the coronavirus, and then I was in Atlanta, I was telling people I heard about it. I didn't really think it was a big deal. And then after like a week or so, and they said they were closing down the school, and I went downtown Atlanta, and if anybody knows anything about Atlanta, you know the traffic is ridiculous. When I rode through Atlanta and saw no traffic, I said, oh, yeah, something's going on. And then just to hear about all the deaths, like over 75,000, 80,000 people have died, we can't take anything for granted. And I've heard so many stories of people that didn't think it was going to be, it was for real. I heard the story of, I think it was a barber, and they were told to close the barbershop and the businesses down and whatever. I think it was Louisiana. And the guy said, I'm not closing anything down. I'm still getting my money. And 2 weeks later, he ended up catching it and passing away. Like, that thing is serious. And that's an example of people took it for granted. Some did, some didn't. But we can't take anything for granted. So as we close out tonight, ladies, or this evening, we got about 5 more minutes. If there's anything that's on your heart, that's on your mind that you want to share, I'm going to go out to you first, Nicole. You're going home in 2 weeks, okay? And Celebrity, I know you don't even know her, all right? But what I want you to know, because I want you to tell her at least one thing that's on your heart in reference to her story. She says she's been in prison for 5.5 years. She mentioned she has a daughter that's 8 years old, and she's going home in 2 weeks. So as a woman, okay, and you don't even know her, okay, but what could you tell her? Because I'm sure it's something, because as women, we care, period. So,
oh, yeah.
What could you tell Nicole?
Well, Nicole, you sound like a younger woman, and I'm an older, probably old enough to be your mom. I would just tell you that your past doesn't define you, that, you know, whatever you did to get locked up, you did it, you made a mistake. Hopefully you learned from your mistake. And you coming out and you pushing forward. You don't let nobody beat you up about you was in prison. Don't let nobody, you know, use that to whoop you with. You come out, like she said, you got a plan. You get your baby. You get you a place. And you stay away from people and things that may get you into any kind of trouble. But, you know, this is a new beginning. You made a mistake. You paid your debt. And you out now. You know what I mean? And you going forward. You are not a prisoner anymore. And, you know, you want to push forward. Like I said, don't let nobody beat you up, because, you know, society is tough. They find out you was in prison, you know, and they box you. They put you in a box. Or this, you know, she's an ex-con or whatever. Just, you know, keep your head up, positive, and like she said, you got your plan, you work your plan, and you go on back to school and get your accounting degree so you can do my taxes.
Amen. Amen. Wow, that gave me chills, sister. Just, and you don't even know her, and just the, having the heart to wish her well. I just want to say thank you for that. It touched me.
Yeah.
Nicole,
welcome.
How you feeling? 2 weeks out the door. How you feeling?
Thank
5.5 years.
I'm excited. I'm eager, you know, to start over and this. definitely new experience, a new location, you know, meeting new people. You know, I think it's going to be great. And you were talking about the whole coronavirus, and you're right, it's bad up here in Atlanta, but we definitely got to stay safe. But
absolutely. Now, Nicole, we're going to reciprocate. You don't know celebrity, but you know that she don't take no junk, and her man is coming home in 3 months, and he better work that plan because she's high maintenance a little bit. So what would you like to share with her for her new journey?
I think that it is definitely is going to be a task. But he sounds like he has a good head on his shoulder. He has a lot of family support. So, and I know that you're going to rock with him, and I know that you're going to make sure that he achieves the goals that he sets out. And you just sound like such an amazing woman, you know, and to have somebody like that in your corner is always a blessing. And it's always to hear such positive inspiration. And definitely, I get my accounting license, you would definitely know, and I would definitely do your taxes because I have definitely been studying on that.
Well, that's good. I want you to come out and be successful, and don't never look back, baby. Don't never look back.
Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am.
And I tell you, it's amazing how you meet people, celebrity. We're definitely looking forward to meeting you. You said you're in Colorado. Oh, my gosh. How's the weather in Colorado
Denver,
today?
Colorado. Right now it's 64. It's sunny. It's clear. We've been having some good weather.
Okay.
You know, the mountains make it, the weather is kind of weird. Like, we could have 80 degrees one day, and it could snow the next day. So, but I think we're past snow now at this point. But it's nice. It's clear. You know, life is good in Colorado. The money is good because he wanted me to move back to Michigan, and I was like, I don't know if I can come back to Michigan and make this kind of money. So,
oh my gosh!
I don't know.
But aren't you guys still locked down there? How's your lockdown going
again?
There? Aren't you guys still pretty much
locked
down there?
Well, I work for a medical equipment company, so I don't know nothing about no lockdown. I've been working.
So you're essential.
Yeah, my life has not changed. I'm working. The only thing has changed is the things are closed, you know, like if I want to run to a store. But it's now I think it's lifted a little bit. Of course, schools are still closed, but I think restaurants are starting to open a little bit and stuff like that. I think barbershops are open now with social distancing and stuff. But I'm going to tell you, girl, I haven't really been on top of what's locked down, what's not, because I'm still going to work.
Well, you know, and I want to say thank you for that because for people that work in medical field and essential jobs to go out and put your life on the line and still be out there, thank you so much because, again, we're not taking anything lightly or for granted. My sister's a CNA, and when I realized she still had to go to a nursing home every day, I was like, I wish you could quit and start back. But she's dedicated and you're dedicated. So thank you for that. And really to anyone that has an essential job, anyone that has needed to be out during COVID-19, thank to everyone just for the sacrifice and the service. And, you know, we're definitely praying and staying prayed up and continue to pray for you and your family, your loved ones. We're out of time, ladies. And I thank you guys so much for agreeing to come on here, especially at the last minute, and sharing from your heart, sharing from your life. And guess what? We're looking to talk back to you again. And just remember, the best days and the blessed days are still yet to come, and God is able. And guess what? We're going to go over and not under. So thank you, guys. Have a good night. God bless you. And I look forward to talking to you the next time. Bye-bye for now.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Bye, Nicole.